Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Back in my day, Porter charcoal, that bastard.
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny. Do not bob at me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 115 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, December 5th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about Western Canada. In the studio with me, as always, is Kenny.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I'm Dr. Nick.
Also in the studio, Dr. Jive.
Good evening.
How many years of doctor school did you go to get that title, Dr. Jive?
Exactly one day.
Doctor? Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor, doctor.
Doctor.
Hey.
Give me the news.
the whole doctor thing just came up the other day. And I recently, because it's on Netflix, I just watched Spies Like Us with Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd? No. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The whole doctor scene in the tent. And it gets me every time. Doctor.
Well, and that's
doctor,
funny.
Doctor. Doctor. Doctor.
Because over Thanksgiving, I know this is like ancient news here, but I watched Chevy Chase and Fletch.
Oh, Fletch is great.
Where he also impersonates a doctor at one point.
He does. Although,
so, Dr. Chase?
Jive Chase?
Dr. Chase.
Dr. Midnight?
You're saying, or is it Dr. Chevy?
It was Dr. Fletch.
Dr. Fletch.
Dr. Fletch.
Although, I think my favorite Thanksgiving movie, even though we are going off, and for whatever reason I thought Chevy Chase, but it's not, is the one with Al Bundy.
Dutch.
Dutch, yes.
Yeah.
See, Fletch, Dutch, it kind of like...
That was like his... I mean, I think that's just about his only movie.
Ed O'Neill,
where he was the star of the movie. I mean, he had the bit part in Wayne's World, you know, where he was.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
But I think Fletch
at Stan Mikita's donut shop.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think Fletch though, or Dutch is probably my favorite Thanksgiving movie.
I'm going Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
That movie always just kind of brings a tear to my eye, though, for whatever reason. Although
those are pillows.
Yeah, exactly.
They are.
Okay. Anyway, we probably should talk hockey here rather than.
Come on, we got to fill up some time somehow. It's been a slow week.
It has been a slow week.
What's hockey?
What is hockey? I think Jive's getting a blow to the head. Let's call a doctor.
Oh.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Somebody hit a sample.
Yeah.
Jive?
Yeah.
Doctor?
Doctor?
Yeah,
doctor.
Sure. You betcha.
Dirkter?
Doctor?
Dirkter?
Doctor?
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 Let's just move on.
Let's move on.
Biddle-doo, biddle-doo, biddle-doo. Brr, brr, brr.
Seriously, let's move on.
Okay.
Samples are down, sir.
So, the Wild played two games this last week, Friday and Sunday. We got three points out of two games.
Two overtime games?
One shootout, one overtime. Technically they both went into overtime, right. But one went to a shootout.
Yep.
They lost in the shootout to Calgary on Friday, and then ended up... winning against the Oilers in overtime on last night on
last
Sunday.
Night. Yep.
Is Captain K. Koivu. Overtime goal. I was waiting for that. So, you know, on Friday against the Flames.
Wait. How do you say in Finnish?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Good to know.
I don't know.
Swarmy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is going downhill fast.
This has gone completely the wrong direction.
Better than one direction.
Where's the crickets when we need it?
let's kind of discuss Friday's game a little bit. You know, there's a lot going on. You know, it was getting kind of chippy with some of our enforcers or, you know, guys that would be more apt to fight.
Well, chippy, or are we actually getting physical?
Well, no, I think some guys are trying to instigate some stuff after, you know, for some retaliation on what happened to Mr. Johnny Hockey the last time we met with Calgary, you know, Johnny Gaudreau. So, you know, this is probably the only sport where the next time you meet a team, you can actually try to fight the team and get away with it. Like, I mean, you can't do that in football. You can't do that in basketball.
No, you better put air quotes around that get away with it. You're still serving penalty time. And
you are,
but you get instigators.
You're not going to get suspended for it, generally speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, like a full-on, like, you know, bench-clearing brawl, there's going to be some issues.
Right,
but, I
right.
mean, you get a one-on-one fight, you're not going to really see a suspension off of that.
No.
You're going to see maybe 2 5-minutes and maybe, like, a instigator or a game misconduct with it.
Right.
So, I mean, to what level is this actually called for? And, I mean, at what point should they have just kind of backed off, realizing that, you know what, none of these guys are actually just going to drop the gloves and go? And really, what's it going to do besides put both teams down a player for 5 minutes?
Are you arguing against fighting?
I might be.
You might be.
No, I'm just asking the question.
Well, I don't know. I think that, you know, to a point, some bit of physicality and, you know, kind of egging the other team on, get under their skin a little bit. Who was the guy from St. Louis? There we go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just something like that. Just get under people's skin. Sometimes, you know. If you need another way to get things sparked and get things going, I mean,
or like Clutterbuck used to do back when we had him,
yeah,
you know, he was just a pest,
yes,
you know, and it throws teams off their game.
You don't necessarily even have to be cheap or, you know, illegal about it. I mean, you can go about it legally in the game of hockey and pester players, you know.
Well, I mean, Clutterbuck, it didn't matter the team. It didn't matter if the team had injured a player previously. Clutterbuck just was like a bowling ball and just kind of hit everything in his way.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the same player he was, though. I think his... Well, not that he was like a great player with the Wild either. It just... it was a really bad team, so he got a lot more minutes, and now he's transferred and he's playing with a lot with... what's his head in New York?
That one guy. He wears blue.
The one guy with the blue. Wow.
Is it blue and orange, or is it blue and red?
Ooh.
It's blue, orange, and white.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sure Felska will answer it. But, you know, but he was never a great player, you know, so you weren't really relying on him to do the other things. Whereas the Wild have a lot of skill and not a lot of those, you know, agitator kind of guys. And, you know, I know we called up...
They got a lot of mediocre skill.
We called up Gabriel for the whole, you know, because they were worried about the response.
Sure. Which, I mean, you know, this would have also been a situation where, you know, back in the day, they would have called up Bugard.
Yeah.
Just to have him on the bench in case something like this was going to happen. You know, and I mean, really, what does it do? You got two heavyweights that fight each other, and it's not any of the players that were involved with the original stuff. You got two guys that are just going at it to go at it to prove a point.
It's a matter of principle. Exactly. To prove a point. You just said it.
Matt Martin. Thank you, Derek.
I wasn't thinking of Matt Martin. I was thinking their scorer guy. Wow.
Gaverick?
I keep on thinking Gomez, but it's not Gomez. It's
Selena.
Selena Gomez, yes. No, it was just Selena.
It was just Selena. That could be a hockey name, actually, though.
He was playing with the ghost.
So, I don't know. Should they have just backed off? I mean, are we beating a dead horse here? A dead Clydesdale? I I mean, because obviously it did it affect the Wild to the point? I mean, they still got a point, but they didn't get two.
Well, I don't think the physicality.
Tavares,
thank you.
Teresa.
Thank you. I don't think the physicality really put the Wild off their game. The Wild just, you know,
didn't have a game.
Just didn't have a game. You know, it's that simple. You know, that's about all I can really put to it.
You gotta bring your game.
Gotta bring your game
if you want to play.
That was Friday. A day off. We're in Edmonton. So what is this? Is Edmonton was game three of the Canadian trip now?
Yeah.
I think, right?
Yep.
Who was before
Vancouver.
Calgary?
Vancouver.
So we went east to Little West, or west to Little East, back east to Edmonton.
What? And then,
yeah, because, well, sorry, west. We went west to Vancouver, and then went back east to Calgary.
But still in the west.
Still in the west.
It's all west.
Yeah, it is. So anyways.
Is it west of us? Yes, it is.
You know,
is it west of the Mississippi? I don't know, because the Mississippi doesn't run up there.
Well, we're west of the Mississippi.
All right.
So, it was kind
of... Not right now, we're not.
Are we? Oh, we
east side.
Yeah, we are.
East side.
Oh, God. I'm going home.
Flash your gang signs. Felska's with us. He's east side.
So
yeah.
So
we get out to Edmonton in a new arena. They're not in a Rexall place anymore.
Rexall version 2.
Yeah, what is it now?
2 Rexall 2 Furious.
Some place with trees in the stadium.
Yeah, they got pine trees or
pine
something.
Trees in the arena.
High treason.
You know, it was kind of a back and forth game. Coyle had a very pretty goal. Dubnyk kind of saved us again.
Yeah, he did. I know we had tweeted out at one point that, you know, it could have very easily been like a 5-0 game. But it wasn't. So,
And then eventually we get into overtime, 1-1. And, you know, thank you, Mr. Felska. Captain Clydesdale kind of saved us, but ends up getting the OT.
He almost did like he does during a shootout, except without the elevation.
Yeah, he didn't raise it, but he did the from the right of the goalie to the left, or from his standpoint, it would have been from the left to the right, and then put the puck in.
Right.
So, I mean, what level of expectation should we be seeing from Captain Finn right now? I mean, he's obviously not a first-line center. I mean, he's been kind of hit or miss on the OT. His shootouts haven't been pretty. Everybody knows what he's doing.
Well, I think he's a capable center on a top line, provided you have some dynamic wings. We don't have that, though.
No.
You know, when Pominville is your second best winger out there.
He got 2 goals last.
Well,
Wednesday.
Well, Lottie frickin' da. It's still Jason Pominville, you know.
This is true.
And we just don't have really dynamic guys on the wings. We've got a ton of second line guys and a few other third line guys on the wings, but we don't have the superstar caliber wingers that can be paired with a guy like Koivu. So, what should we expect? I think we're seeing it, essentially. You know, he wins face-offs.
He does.
His face-off percentage was huge, wasn't it? Was that the game that it was like 22 for 20 or 20, 21 for 23?
I think that's what it was, yeah. So, I mean, he does that while he does, you know, you don't see a lot of stupid turnovers by Koivu, which I got to say, after watching last night with Zucker, it's turnover city with Zucker. He's got hands of moldy bread, or I don't know what
the
heck.
What did we say? Legs of Holla, hands of Pominville?
Yeah. And beard of, I don't know. What should his beard have be? But anyway.
It's kind of... No.
He's got a solid beard. It's not
Burns-y beard.
It's not Burns level, no.
It's not the... Or wait, hold on, Aaron. You gotta...
No, that's... I think that one's better than mine. That's supposed to be a Wookiee, I think.
Okay. We need a Wookiee competition here.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Well, Jav, what do you think? I've talked enough here.
Jav, what's your Wookiee impersonation?
Oh, I'm not going to impress a Wookiee. I don't know. Never mind that. But yeah, Koivu, I mean, obviously he's not in the prime of his career. I mean, he's been in the NHL a long time now. He probably doesn't have, you know, maybe all the physical ability that he did as a youngster. But, you know, as far as play goes, I don't feel that he's hurting the team. And being a top line center, probably not. But I think that he's playing his role for the team. I think that he's doing that well. And, you know, a captain doesn't mean that you're, you know, the number one A-plus, you know, centerman or whatever for the team. You're the guy who...
You're the team spirit animal.
Well, when you're in the locker room or when you're on the bench and when you're on the ice, I mean, the captain is the guy who kind of... symbolizes your team and represents you as, you know, a whole and brings everybody together. He's, you know, a leader.
Yeah.
So.
And honestly, you know, while one can make a lot of gripes about Koivu's play,
yeah,
I think you look at someone like Zucker, who's had a few bad games in a row. Dumba has had a pretty bad season all around.
Yeah.
I think the number of there's other players that have had worse seasons that we should be open to criticizing at this point.
Yeah.
And Koivu, at best, is the third on that list. At best. At worst, you know, you could make an argument, you know, Pominville hasn't had a good year, or any other number of players.
The team has not been consistent at all.
No.
So, you know, I mean, we've gotten away with what we have to this point because we are, I think, second in the league in goals against right now.
Right.
So, I mean,
our season is fully on Dubnyk right now.
On Dubnyk and our goaltending. I mean, Kemper hasn't been God's gift to man.
Right.
He's had a couple of rough starts and he's had some decent showings. Well, so, I mean,
Koivu's number six right now with 13 points with the team, which, I mean, is not really saying a lot.
Considering his ice time, he should be
six. He's got six yeah. goals and seven assists. He's actually number three in goals behind Coyle and Nino right now. So, I mean, it's not horrible.
Right.
I mean, well, if you look at the team stats, I mean, if you look how many games we're in, it's not great.
Well, that's what I was trying to explain, though, is it's not always about the stats for being a captain. When you're talking a captain, it's somebody who's bringing your team together.
No, and I think Jive, that is a very solid point. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's why he has retained that C for the past, what, 3 or 4 years now? 4 years,
somewhere
maybe?
Around that, yeah.
You know, I think he does have that ability of being that leader in the locker room and saying the right things at the right time when the team is down. So, and I mean, you know, getting an overtime goal is actually a pretty good leading by example of a captain.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we could see it more from him. I mean, if we're doing it like yeah. a straight lead by example, I would almost say, you know, Parise should be the captain, but this has been an argument that we've had before and that other people have said.
Well, I will say what was interesting about that Flames game is that Boudreau didn't put Koivu out on the shootout. I mean, that
That's saying a lot for the coach, too.
Right. I mean, he's willing to change things up and reward players that are doing something or to challenge players. You know,
he's going to do what a coach is supposed to do, and that's supposed to be to play the players that are going to give you the best chance to win. I mean, that's...
And he didn't feel Koivu was going to be that guy at that moment. So.
And that's not his spot. And that's, you know, I think that Koivu has a role on this team, and it's not to be... the league leader in scoring. So I think hanging stats on it is not necessarily the best gauge of his value to the team.
But at a certain point, you have to have some certain level of statistical ability. You know, you have to be clearing certain hurdles.
Which we discussed the faceoffs.
Right.
I mean,
by that level, Kanapka could have been our captain, though.
You got to really watch out for those hurdles when you're playing San Jose.
It goes.
Where's the train wreck sound with the record scratch?
I don't have that one.
Oh God, that was real bad.
Are we in a warehouse? Is this place going to burn down?
We're not even going to go there right now.
There's probably
that's way too soon.
Although. We have burned pallets in the past.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we know.
They go up very fast.
This is why I will not walk into a venue that has pallets as stairs. Like, no. Nope. That's my only option.
You do the Abe Simpson where you walk in, do a circle, walk right back out.
And this is not something we should be laughing at right now because that's a pretty effed up situation.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Pallets burn fast and scarily.
Yes, they do. And hot, and they shoot flames like 30 feet in the air.
Yes, we know this.
We don't speak from any experience. No, that wasn't us that took your pallets.
We should have. It might have saved some lives.
Speaking of which, my wife has a pallet at her studio I want to bring home. She was trying to give it away, and I'm like, I want that pallet to burn. That's gonna be a good. That's good burning.
We'll
wood.
Just dig a hole in your backyard and just light the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Got any more trees you want to take down?
I was gonna make another joke, but I think we should move on.
All right.
So since we only had a couple games this week, we're gonna go a little off the off a topic here, but still on hockey. Talking about the Olympics.
Yeah.
I know we're a couple of years away from that now. Or
2018, about a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and change.
It would be...
If you're going by year number, we're a couple of years away.
But if we're actually looking at when it's going to happen, we're like a year and a month and a half.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, NHL, they offered Olympic participation in exchange for a three-year extension of the CBA. Or collective bargaining agreement, basically the labor contract between the league and the players' association.
They need to take note how MLB just handled their CBA. Where I think they're good for the next like 25 years.
But in fairness, the NHLPA turned it down because basically the agreement would have eliminated the NHLPA, the players' association's opt out in 2019. And would it effectively extend the labor agreement to 2025?
Was that with the three-year extension on the tacked onto the end of it, right?
No, basically the three-year extension would put them past the opt-out period.
Okay.
So basically once they're past the opt-out, they can't opt out anymore, and the agreement goes to 2025 automatically.
So the agreement would have been to 2022... And had they not changed anything up until that point, then it would have extended out to 2025.
It essentially was trying to, go around that opt-out.
Okay.
Is essentially what it came down to.
I just wanted to make sure my facts are clear in my head.
And but to your point, there is a little bit of difference between the baseball and the hockey. Baseball also had a really bad strike in the early 90s.
This is true.
And... that poisoned the league and a lot of fans, actually. I know I was an ardent
myself
baseball fan.
Myself included.
And that poisoned me.
I agree.
They lost one season? Half a season?
It was half a season, but...
But nobody watched the second half of the season anyways.
Right. Well, the second half was lost, right? No, I think it was... Yeah, the second half was lost.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what it was. And so the NHL is basically doing the same, going down the exact same path, but they're like 10 years later, and it's been even worse. And then the Players Association brings in Fair, who was the negotiator for the Players Association in baseball.
Right.
Did
they bring him in last time during the CBA?
During the lockout, they did. I don't know if he's still with them. He may have branched off at this point.
He's basically kind of like an independent contractor and goes to whoever's going to pay him to do this.
Well, he's a hard ass. He knows labor law and he knows labor negotiations. And
he's sitting in a good spot for himself personally right now. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's got job security.
Yeah. So first off, you know, was this a good choice for the Players Association? Should they have turned this down? Should they have wanted to make sure they have that 2019 opt-out? Is that a good thing for them?
I think so. I think right now, I mean, the only thing that from what I read, and correct me if you had seen any other different sources, but from what I read, the only thing that they were getting out of this was that the players were allowed to play in the Olympics. And that was the only thing that they were that was on the table from the league side, was that they were going to allow the players to play. I know Ovechkin said that no matter what he's planning on playing, whether it's in the contract or not. I think one of the things, and Aaron, I don't see this in our notes, so I'm going to mention it, was who's going to cover the insurance, because I know there was some talk about whether the IOC or the IIHF, the Olympic Committee or the International Ice Hockey Federation was going to cut, because they're the ones that have been splitting the cost right now for the players' insurance, the travel time, the accommodations, and what have you.
Sure.
And they were kind of, it sounded like, on the fence on paying for some of this right now as well. So, you know, between the players' insurance to make sure that they're good, and then from the NHL side, from the owner's side, of losing 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks worth of hockey at their stadium, which right now everything got pushed back 2 weeks because of the games in Canada. The whatchamacallit?
World Cup
of hockey.
Yep.
Oh, yep.
So that already pushed everything back. So now we're going to have playoffs sitting in like July again or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, how is that any different from pushing the schedule back to losing 2 weeks in the middle or losing 2 weeks at the beginning of the season?
Because the NHL can profit off those weeks at the beginning of the year.
I heard that their profits were not that good and that they actually had lost some fairly big sponsorships. The players, I guess, did not make that much money off of it.
I am betting that they're in it for the long run. Kind of like baseball, actually. The baseball analogy prevails here, too, because the baseball started the World Baseball Classic, WBC. And that was pretty bad initially, but I think it's picked up a little bit of steam now that we're, you know, a decade from the first games. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be one of those long haul, long burn things that the NHL is hoping that they can profit on longer term. You know, maybe people weren't into it this year, but I think
the interest will grow.
I think it'll help if they don't have stupid Team Europe and Team North America, but I don't know if they'll get rid of that, but
so
yeah.
Aaron, actually, going back to answer your original question, was this a good choice of the Players Association? I'm going to go with yes. I think they've got more stuff to negotiate rather than just signing that contract right now. I think they can get more from the NHL and from the owners than just being able to play in the Olympics.
I would have to agree. I mean, anytime when you're in negotiations for anything with anybody, you know, don't take that first offer.
No.
Okay. Nobody's ever given you, you know, everything they can the first time.
You know? Oh, okay, but so is this a good choice for the fans?
We're not going to see a strike anytime soon right now. I mean, they say they need to have this done by January, and the previous Olympics, they didn't have anything done until July before then. So they can say January. We still got another 6-7 months before they actually have to make a final decision.
Well, and the
this.
Players don't have to concede a CBA extension. They can the players could still end up striking in 2019 if that's the way they want to go down. If they could choose to do the opt out, and then we're back to where we were just a few years ago.
Well, right, and that stuff that I agree that, like, the lockouts and, you know, missing games or shortened seasons, you know, those hurt any sport, you know.
Yeah.
Even we, like we discussed a little bit earlier, there's something as big as America's pastime, you know. Everybody was a baseball fan until
there
wasn't any. And people learned, oh, I can get by without this.
And this is a sport that is the fourth or fifth largest sport in North America, if you include soccer.
Soccer is kind of on the up and up right now.
So do you really want to risk another labor stoppage in order to save, you know, a few million dollars for yourself? On either side, really.
Yeah.
I have less sympathy towards the owners because I think the players are the product and they deserve the money that the owners are earning, but that's me being, you know, a commie bastard. So.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the players are the ones that are out there that people want their autographs from. With very few exceptions, have I seen owners getting asked for their autographs.
Well, how do you get that Norm Green autograph tattoo on your shoulder then?
Dude, that one was more painful than you think. The only owner that I've seen actually getting asked for autographs was after Thursday night's Vikings game, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, as they were walking
Jerry
out.
Jones, huh?
Yeah, everybody was asking, like, all the people that were left wanted his autograph. He was signing helmets, he was signing sweaters.
I bet you Mark Cuban kind of gets that.
Mark
too.
Cuban probably could as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, as far as that goes,
there's a few, like, just I want to say iconic, but just, you know, very well-known owners out there.
The owner of the Yankees.
Steinbrenner, when he was alive.
When he was alive, probably would have been one of them.
Yep.
But, I mean, from that standpoint, though, no, it's the hockey players, the ones that are out on the ice that are what people come to see, the ones that people know. They know them, they know the coaches, or at least the head coach, you know. Maybe not the coaching staff, but it's that's who the majority of people are looking at right now.
I don't know. I think Yo put on a lot of weight this year. And he must have got LASIKs and got rid of his glasses, too.
I think he got that they done got, like towards the end of his tenure last
they
year.
They got good barbecue down in St. Louis.
Oh, he moved to St. Louis? I thought he was still coaching for us. And that's he got fat.
Oh. Lost some. Well, I guess he really didn't lose some
people
hair.
Not following the head coach?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
He goes to Ben and Jerry's more often.
Haagen-Dazs,
Baskin-Robbins. Was it Haagen-Dazs, Baskin-Robbins? Haagen-Dazs.
It's Haagen-Dazs.
Are there still any Haagen-Dazs shops around here?
I have no idea.
I know there
idea.
Used to be one in like uptown Minneapolis, but that was like the only one that
there's
I
There's probably one at Edina.
Or the Mall of America.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I mean, hey.
I will take Froyo over Haagen-Dazs.
You know what I want? Mrs. Fields cookies, because of you and your damn candle.
I've got a candle called Unicorn Puke, and it is a wonderful smell. It smells like fresh baked cookies.
That was the best thing in Miami, was the fact that I walked into a mall that the cheapest store in there was Macy's, and they had a Mrs. Fields cookie shop. I was like, I'm buying a lot.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyway, back to CBA.
Cookies beyond.
Yeah. So did the NHL
cookies before all?
Yes. Thanks, Jive. I needed some help with that one.
No problem.
Did the NHL overestimate how important the Olympics are to the players?
I think so. I think they're also kind of looking at, you know, I get where they're coming from with having that extent, like more than just a All-Star break in the middle, because, you know, they're making money off the All-Star break too in general. I mean, you know, so they're kind of looking out for their thing. But if most of the players in the Olympics, especially the teams that are winning, are NHL players, that's still going to put them on high notice throughout the rest of the world.
Well, and the thing is the Olympics is its own beast. I mean, that is, when it comes down to it, as an athlete, I mean, it's an honor to basically, you know, be the face of your country.
Yeah, absolutely.
For whatever sport it is. I mean, you can call, the NHL can call their little World Cup thing whatever they want, but the Olympics. That's the true world competition. That's where everybody comes and gets together and right. and plays on that big international rink of ice. And I mean, the players, yeah, definitely. I'm sure that it means a heck of a lot more than, you know, probably a few games worth of their NHL salaries to be able to go and play.
Well, Derek just brought up a good point, though. He goes, I don't think the players really want to play in Korea. It's like, unless they're Russian, they hated playing in Sochi. I mean, you are going basically opposite side of the world with time zone changes.
Yeah, but at least, you know, South Korea is relatively modern and the facilities shouldn't be as crappy as they were in Sochi.
Well, so. Isn't that what they thought about Brazil during the summer games?
But Brazil's a third world country. South Korea is not.
Until the man from the north comes down on
them. Well, that would be a different problem.
Until right. all of a sudden, like, nukes start getting launched on Olympic Village.
Right.
Yeah, that could be bad.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. What do you think, Aaron?
You know, I think yes, they did. The players obviously want to play in the Olympics. It's an important thing to them. But it's not important enough for them to want to, you know, give up freedom for another 6 years or the ability to negotiate or decide whether or not the contract that they agreed to a few years back ends up being in good faith. It could be that the profits are soaring. They're going to have another team by that point in the NHL. So the players are going to have a little bit different perspective because of that, you know, the addition of the Golden Showers. Right. So things are going to be different. And so I'm sure they want to see how that's going to play out, especially with regards to revenues and potentially even, you know, how the players are being handled in Vegas. You know, because that could play into it as well. So that's obviously very important to them. And
yeah.
Actually, Aaron, you bringing up Vegas and revenues, you know, we talked about it before, and this just hit me. The fact that Vegas probably will not have a solid fan base, like local fan base, as far as like for ticket sales and whatnot goes. But if they're sold out every time, that profit sharing goes to teams like Florida that can't fill out their arena.
Right.
So, okay, yeah, I guess from that standpoint, I can see having Vegas might not be the worst thing in the world because that's another team that's actually put money towards Florida that can't fill their arena unless coming from us in Minnesota.
Well, not to go down this rabbit hole, but I can't imagine anyone's going to want to play there.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Unless
you're a native, you know, it's one of those things where I guess it's okay to, if you want to visit or if you like gambling, but I can't imagine the kind of person who wants to live there.
Well, as a tourist, that's what you've seen, but I mean, there still has to be communities and stuff around there where people live.
Vegas has more transplants than Chicago, and Chicago's got a lot of transplants.
I mean, I've spent time off the strip.
How was the Bunny Ranch?
It is not an interesting town. It's a lot of new developments. I do not think it is a place where a person, most normal people, would want to raise a family.
No. It's called Sin City for a reason.
I'm trying to remember where I saw it, but I saw a video or a commercial that was advertising like the kids of Vegas. Where did I see that? Like we're kids too, you know. We have schools, we have neighborhoods, we have, you know.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, you have to do that, right. But I still don't think as a city, because it's all on the strip, everything that is culturally relevant in Las Vegas is on the strip and has to do with the gaming industry. It's not like Boston where you've got culture there. It's not like Chicago or New York or Toronto or Vancouver where those are actual cities with something other than the gaming industry as something someone could do.
They got a pawn shop.
They have a pawn shop.
I'm guessing a few pawn shops.
Right.
Well, wasn't that the whole point of not putting a professional sports team in Vegas so that they couldn't be originally so that they couldn't be influenced by outside forces on to throw a game?
Yeah, I mean, with the internet now, though, I mean, I would guess that any player, if they really wanted to, could lay down a bet on their own games.
Sure.
And probably could do it pretty, you know,
slyly.
Right.
We've got a whole team of Pete Roses here.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us on.
All that. Right. Let's.
Shall we move on to the
move on
the bowel movements?
The bowel movements.
So, just earlier today, it was announced that. Zach Mitchell and Olofsson were sent back down to Iowa, so they're moving back down there. We still got Folan, who's sitting out with his sprained MCL. But really, I mean, other than that, you know, like it was a pretty quiet week as far as movements until, you know, just this afternoon today when that was announced. What are you guys thinking? You know, I mean, Folan being gone and. Have the Wild been missing him? Have they been missing his big body and, you know, able to, you know, get a little bit more physical with any of the players?
Well,
any of the other teams?
I think if I'm given a choice between Prosser and Folan.
You're definitely going Prosser. I can tell. I can see that. Like, I can see that look in your eye.
Do I look like Derek Felska here? No, I'm picking Folan. I'm picking the Swede every day. Well, and especially I think Folan has actually developed quite a bit over the last year and change. He looks way more capable than he was, say, last year at this time.
Sure.
So I think we are missing him, and we're missing that just depth.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have Prosser as a healthy scratch in case we get an injury, and then mm-hmm. we can bring him in.
Felska thinks that the Wild are missing him on the PK.
Yeah.
I think I would tend to agree on that, too.
Yep. They've let in quite a few, actually, as of late. But, yeah, I mean, Folan, I think you kind of started to mention it there, Aaron. I mean, he's definitely stepped up his game this year, I feel.
Yeah.
And with that, I think that, yeah, the Wild probably are missing him a little bit more than – had this been the same time last year. So, Kenny?
You know, I think, yeah, just kind of agreeing with Felska, like Folan on the PK, I think, you know, when he was out, you know, I missed him on the PK as well. Yep. And, I mean, I think those are two guys that are absolutely stellar on the PK and very much staples. I mean, you can take your first, second line guys and do away with them and you know, give me Folan and give me Hala out there. And
Hala?
I think, you know, that's when we're getting our chances.
All right. So then the upcoming week here, we've got more Canadian battles, right?
Canada.
Battling the border. And then we're ending up the week with the Blues down in back here at home, actually. so far, you know, we've kind of had mediocre results on our Canadian tour, if that's what you want to call it. You know, how do you think we're going to come out here against the Maple Leafs and Mick what's his face?
McJesus.
Yeah. And the Oilers, they're coming to our town now, though. So,
well, we have what's his name with Toronto.
Nugget. Do tell.
Nugget.
Austin Matthews.
Matthews, yeah. Which he's been pretty quiet though, hasn't he? In general.
Yeah, I mean,
since the start of the year. I mean, I got to see him. I got to see the Toronto game when Toronto was here, and you know the Wild actually looked pretty good against Toronto, and I was. Hoping maybe for like Austin Matthews just to kind of blow up a little bit, just to see some spark and to say, hey, I saw him in his rookie year. And
Just to say you could be there, you'd want the Wild to lose.
No, I didn't say I wanted them to lose.
Okay, Eric Johnson.
I'm not a turncoat, asshole. Oh, wait. Hey, asterisk. I think we got the Leaves. It's going to be a tight game, though. Just, you know, it seems to be that's how our games have been lately. It's going to be tight games. We're not going to see that 4-0, 4-1, 4-2.
That's the thing, though. We've had a couple of games where we have actually kind of broken out and put some goals on the board, and you just wonder where that is all the time. Why can't we muster up just a little bit more offense? Like, I get tired of us only being able to score one or two goals a game.
Happened when we were getting those shutouts? We were winning like 4-0 and 3-0. I want my Frosty again, damn it. I need a 4-goal game.
Spread the goals out a little bit.
I almost got Frostied out for a second.
Almost.
Almost. Almost. No, but I mean, I see a close game. Oilers, we're gonna see Edmonton again, and you know, I think that's we're gonna see some of the animosity from the previous game. So it might be a little chippier game, I think, against Edmonton.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a tight game. And then St. Louis is always a pain in our butt. I mean, other than playoffs, but even the playoff games have been super close all the time. We're at home for St. Louis that game.
Yep.
So we're gonna have some home crowd there. But again, I would expect maybe like a 3-2 game, depending on who's in net for St. Louis that game.
3-2 Wild.
3-2 Wild.
So you're going 3 wins for the Wild?
Yeah, I am. I think they're all gonna be 1-goal games though.
Wow.
Humanga's big.
I'm going to go 2 wins, 1 loss. I think the Leafs are beatable. I think the Oilers are beatable. I think the Blues is where we meet our downfall.
I'd hate to agree with Kenny, because...
But I'm Nostrius.
And I do agree with you. The Blues is going to be a tough game.
It is going to be tough, and there's no doubt about that.
But it's on our home turf. It's time to turn things around here. Boudreaux's not going to take any more stuff.
So are we doing this? Are we giving the big middle finger to the December slump? Is that what you're saying?
We're turning things around here. And the Wild are going to win at home against the Blues. They're going to win at home against the Oilers.
This feels like a daily affirmation. Yeah. The Wild are going to win. You're good enough.
You're going to win.
That's right.
Your hands aren't made of stone.
But I am going to tell you, though, that...
Your legs aren't limp noodles.
That you're going to be...
Doggone it. People kind of like you, but even Wisconsin.
That's right. But the only reason that they're going to win those two games is because you guys are going to be horribly, horribly upset with how the play goes in Toronto.
So you're going to go 1-2? Or 2-1, but with a loss in Toronto?
Loss in Toronto, yes. Uh-huh. Two games, one loss. Or two wins, one loss. Oh.
So we're just picking different losses here. I got it.
So who's your loss?
Toronto.
Toronto?
Yes.
Is that just because of what Toronto did to us earlier tonight?
Probably.
Toronto, for those that don't know, is our video computer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Twitter talk. I haven't looked at any of these, so it's going to be coming in hot. First
coming
question.
Coming in blind.
Coming in blind. Coming in Helen Keller. Teresa, friend of the show, at MNSoda24. How doomed is this team when they can't do the basics? Like, clear the effing puck. Hashtag hockey 101. So, what do you think? How doomed are we?
Any team that can't do the basics is basically doomed in general. We tend to see it in spurts with the Wild. So, I'm going to say if they can't learn how to clear the effing puck, we are completely doomed. And I think part of that goes back to what we were talking about with Follin on the power play, or on the penalty kill. So, Jive?
Yeah, I mean, getting the puck out of your zone and you know, not getting stuck in your zone for long periods of time. Because the situation, once you're getting pinned down there, it only gets worse because you get more and more fatigued. And, yeah, that's...
And if I remember right, yesterday's game, Zucker was... Zucker and Dumba both had... And actually, it wasn't Dumba. It was just Zucker, I think. It was just brutal where his palm of Pominville. It was really bad. I don't know. We're going to be screwed if we can't figure that out. And we need some of these guys that aren't doing very well, like Dumba and Zucker, to get their head out of their collective rear end.
All right.
Humang is big.
Next question comes in from Derek Falska. He's asking Three in the Box, what key words would you suggest for a Wild TV broadcast drinking game? Hashtag handcuff.
Yeah, we were lamenting hashtag that we haven't.
This kind of came up last game. We were lamenting
that we haven't heard handcuffed. Like, I don't think I've heard it yet this year.
I think I've heard it once, but I think we need to tweet at LaPanta to have him start using handcuff more.
We're missing out. We are totally missing out.
So without handcuff, there was
Well, you guys probably gave him too much crap, so he stopped.
Well,
probably. Well, you gotta go buy a thesaurus, you know, flip through it.
I remember
there's a great online idiom search where you can find idioms, you know, fish in the barrel.
He was chain linked in the zone.
I vaguely remember a tweet something about hey, LaPanta, we're getting thirsty here. Would you please use handcuffed again? I think that's from last year.
And then he replied, handcuffed.
He did. I think he actually said it two or three times towards the end of the game. Okay, so we lost handcuffed. There was one that we were talking about last night, though. It was something that Gorg said, or Greenlay said. Greenlay.
I would say just every time he shoots it wide of the net. You gotta take some
off the post.
No, that's not enough drinking.
Have you seen the Wild lately?
Ding, still. Clink.
As long as we got Pominville out there,
I say wide of the net.
As long as Pominville's out there, I mean, we might as well have like a pitcher sitting in front of us.
That's a thinker.
Okay, handcuffed is obviously a good one. There is the what the hell was the one that Greenlay used last night that we said this is a new handcuffed?
I totally blank. I know what we were talking about it, but
and I can't remember what he said. So we might have to come back to you on that one. You'll probably
we'll write up a new set of rules and we'll get those out to everybody shortly.
Just keep an eye on us during the next game because I'm pretty sure we'll hear it and we'll start tweeting it and then we'll say, you know, drink hashtag whatever that saying is.
So there's your new drinking game. Every time 3ITB says take a drink, I guess you gotta take a drink.
Yeah, that's the new drinking game.
Yes.
Just don't stop drinking ever.
Yes.
You're gonna be consistently drunk.
Quit quitting.
Quit quitting.
So
Quitter.
Yeah.
Our other question from Mr. Derek Felska at State of Hockey News. If the Wild were a food leftover, which leftover would they be right now? Hashtag diminishing returns. Hashtag not so good. I'm going to go with... There's this pizza place that I like that I was actually at tonight, but I'm not going to say the name.
Until they pay us money.
Exactly. But I also don't want to, like, you know... The thing is, the pizza is actually really good, but if you have any leftovers and you put it in your fridge, like the next day, the cheese just turns to like, it's like super hard. It's not very good at all. But
that's why you warm it back up?
No, it's like beyond that type of like warming up. It's like,
you can warm it up. I warm it up all the time.
Yeah, okay.
I disagree.
Me too.
Well, anyways, I'm going with pizza in general because if you throw it in the microwave as a leftover, it just gets all soggy and it's not the same.
What about pizza crust? Like just the edge?
Ooh, that too.
You don't have to eat that.
See, that's the that would be the one I would say where it's like
you that gets tough.
That gets like but leather.
But like
what about dude, chicken?
I'll, like leftover pizza is awesome.
Well,
man.
Depending on the place,
cold or warm, it doesn't matter where it's from, man. Pizza is good.
Well, says the guy who works for up.
You could say I'm casual there now.
No, because they didn't give us any money. I'm not giving them that profit.
Oh, okay. But regardless, their pizza got a lot better anyway. It used to taste like cardboard. I will say that was not good pizza.
Okay, here's what I'm gonna say. Leftover meatballs.
Leftover meatballs.
I can do leftover meatballs.
Leftover meatballs, I still like them, but you've got that congealed fat around them, which is kind of off-putting because it's like just fat.
Well, if
just
they're like
there.
Super greasy meatballs, yeah. Oh, not like meatballs in like a sauce. Like you're just saying like meatball.
Meatballs, like meatballs, egg noodles, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just congealed fat around it. And you got to get rid of that fat, otherwise, because you don't want to, why would you reheat just the fat unless you're looking for a heart attack or something like that?
That's what makes it taste good, dude.
Wait, so we're all going on.
There's already plenty of fat in the meatball that you can't see.
That's right. That's why you put the breadcrumbs and stuff in there to soak it all up. That's what makes them so tasty.
Okay,
but I'm saying in the bottom of the container, there's all this congealed fat.
Yeah.
So, and you're eating the congealed fat?
Well, after you warm it up, it turns back into grease and stuff.
So right now,
roll it around in there, and yeah,
we're basically kind of all went off the fact that the Wild are the shitty leftovers. we haven't got any after any good leftovers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I still like the meatballs. There's just some crap around it that I'm not a big fan of.
Fair enough,
Prosser. The grease is Prosser. Is that what you're saying?
I gotta say I'm not a hater of Prosser. He is not my Brodziak by any stretch of the imagination.
Do we have a Brodziak this year? I mean, Palmerville's kind of rolling into his Palmerville.
He's not a Heatley. He's not. I don't feel any sort of animosity. Prosser is who Prosser is. I just don't want him skating a whole bunch of time. Period.
So, as for me, what I'm going to call for the food leftover is really related to the Wild's offense. And it may be too soon, but I'm going to say leftover turkey. But not just turkey. Because the dark meat, that stuff will retain some, you know, juiciness and flavor.
And this is where I was going with the leftover chicken.
But, yeah, the white meat.
It's all dried out and rubbery.
It's dry. Yeah. And it really.
You got to go to the right place. That's the problem.
Hey, we can't all go to Austin and get our smoked turkey.
No. Leftover.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he's got a point. Aaron,
when you reheat white meat turkey, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not still juicy.
The stuff from Austin is.
Yes, it is.
Rudy's, okay, I'm sorry. Nobody from Texas is listening to us, and nobody's going down there.
No. You don't know that.
But honestly,
I have family down there.
This is an honest suggestion for anybody going down to Texas. Go to a gas station that has Rudy's and get their damn barbecue. Because holy crap, is that good.
The turkey is unbelievable. We actually bought 2 pounds of it and reheated it Thanksgiving Day. It was delicious, juicy, awesome.
I should have you fly me some back, and I bet it would still be
good. You actually can order it online, and they'll air ship it to you.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Guess what I'm doing tonight? Hey, guess what I'm doing right now?
Okay.
I'm not joking.
Okay, I think that's it. I think that's Twitter talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Kenny, when you're not looking at Rudy's and how to airdrop meat to your doorstep, where can
airdrop meat?
Are they on Amazon Prime?
They send it by drone now.
You can find me...
drone meat.
Pretty much, you know, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram. That's the two most exciting things that I tend to post to most often, at Nostrakenius. You know, you can kind of keep an eye on what I'm doing and what shows I'm working, what shows I'm at.
Sweet. And Jive.
Yeah. That's about
Jive,
it.
Jive, you can find him at the local Cub Scout meeting.
Yes, that you can find.
That's him. Wait, that's he's got kids there. He's got kids
yes.
there.
Yeah, yeah. Not he's not the creepy guy in the ice cream truck outside.
The clown suit.
With the clown suit.
I'm assuming you've got a Twitter account that people can find stuff.
I do. I am at Jive Midnight.
Okay, and as for myself, you can find links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, listening. You know, you can find us on iTunes. We're Three in the Box. Follow us on Twitter, at Three in the Box.
Did we get our Google Play thing up yet?
We're on Google Play. Oh, yeah. You know, we're in normal podcast players. Go find us. It's a good time.
We're out there.
And if you're on any of the places, and you can submit a review like iTunes has it. Do that because that'll help get us up in the rankings. Yeah. And
follow us during hockey games, during the Wild games. We're pretty much tweeting during them.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it's fun having interaction. We like being smart asses during the game. Yeah. So
no doubt. Well, that's it for this week's episode. See ya.